Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure you all know someone like David. Maybe even a lot of someones. The bad people, the sinners, the ones who do bad things, and then either try to cover up their sin or try to force everyone else to embrace and accept their sin. The adulterer who's had a dozen mistresses behind his wife's back, and everyone knows but her. The tax cheat who's never paid a penny of taxes in his life through shady dealing. The perpetual gossip. The person who absolutely despises his or her neighbors and lashes out with passive-aggressive displays of hostility. Who would want to be one of those terrible sinners? And make no mistake, David was a terrible sinner. He coveted his neighbor's wife, the wife of one of his top soldiers, no less. He committed adultery by sleeping with the wife. Well, not only that, but he is doing this while her husband is off fighting in a war to expand David's kingdom. Talk about a jerk. His attempts to cover it up were one giant lie. First, trying to pass the kid off as her husband by calling him home from the war so he could make love to her. Yeah, that's totally what got her pregnant. It definitely wasn't me. Definitely not me. And of course, when that cover-up didn't work, he essentially murdered the husband by ordering that he be placed in a position where he could be killed in battle. And he had the husband deliver the orders, too. We can comb through all of David's actions in this incident with Bathsheba and Uriah and the cover-up and find ways that David broke pretty much all of the Ten Commandments with this. But of course, we aren't like David. We aren't terrible sinners like David. We would never covet our neighbor's wife. That's certainly not the word we would use to describe just looking at a beautiful woman or man, especially not when it's over the internet. That is something completely different. We would never commit adultery. That's certainly not what we would call it when we sleep together before getting married or when we're planning to get married eventually. We would never lie to cover up greater sins. That little white lie is important for their protection, to protect them from something that would hurt them. It's all about them, right? And of course, we would certainly never commit murder even against that coworker you just can't stand who makes you want to just strangle him with your bare hands when he won't stop talking about stuff you don't care about. You know what God calls all of those things that we do? He calls them sins. No different from David's sins. No different from those other people's sins. We are sinners too. No different from David. But we don't like being reminded of our sins any more than David did. A lot of the problems in our culture, especially it seems these days, come from just this. We like living in our sins and we hate being called out on them. Why do those suffering from the temptation of same-sex attraction constantly push for acceptance of their pet sin? Why do those who live together without the protection of marriage find endless justifications for their pet sin? Why does the alcoholic return to his alcohol despite the terrible things it makes him do and the terrible burden it places on his family? Why do you do such theological backflips to justify your pet sin to yourself? The fact of the matter is, we don't like being called out on our sin any more than David did when the prophet Nathan came to him with this story about two shepherds, one with a bunch of sheep and one with just one, and used that as a metaphor to call David out for his sin. But just as with David, none of our evasions and dodges can make any of these sins go away or make them any less sinful. It was probably after this that David penned Psalm 51, where he writes, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgments." David recognizes his sin, that he has sinned against God. And the same holds true for all of us as well. We are just as sinful as anyone else, despite our best attempts to ignore or pass off our sins as something else. Paul talks about his own failures to live up to God's righteous standards in our epistle reading, when he writes that we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. We also have sinned. In Romans 3, Paul writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And this is an important realization for us to come to. You see, when you go through a 12-step program, you learn that you need to admit that you have a problem over which you are powerless. In Psalm 32, our psalm for today, it says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." You see, David's story does not end with the wrath of a righteous God poured out upon a miserable sinner who betrayed and murdered one of his servants just to add another wife to his harem. No, David falls to his knees in repentance, pleading for mercy from God through his prophets, and God hears. God hears his plea and responds with the words of forgiveness, of absolution. Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." Now, David still did suffer from the temporal earthly consequences for his sin. The child that was conceived by the adultery did die. But David was spared the eternal consequences of living and dying apart from God's mercy and grace. He received God's forgiveness. And so also our story does not end with the wrath of a righteous God poured out upon a miserable, terrible sinner. In Psalm 32, it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." God covers over our sin. He forgives us for what we have done. And then in Micah chapter 7, the prophet writes, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love." Then in Zechariah, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestment." God takes away our sins, he covers over our sins, and gives us his righteousness, which was won for us by Christ's death on the cross. Though you have sinned, I have the joyful duty of telling you that you are forgiven. No matter what you have done, you are forgiven. We are not forgiven because of anything we did to merit it. David absolutely was not worthy or deserving enough in God's eyes for God to just let it slide when he killed Uriah and took his wife. No, we are forgiven because of what God has done for us. God sent his son. God sent his son into our world to live our life, to die our death in our place, so that he could take on himself the punishment for our sin. We are justified for his sake, not for anything we do. And so you also are in the place of David, a poor, miserable sinner who has transgressed God's commandments. You also are deserving of the same punishment that God declared against David in our Old Testament reading. But you also are forgiven and redeemed. Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive you for your sins. And not only does he forgive your sins, but he also forgives those of those other sinners, the ones you think are such worse sinners than you. We are all equally guilty in God's eyes. We are all equally redeemed in God's eyes. If you are struggling with accepting and receiving God's forgiveness for your sins, I encourage you to talk to me for private confession and absolution, where I can tell you personally that God forgives you. And that is not all. We also have the happy privilege of telling repentant sinners that they have been forgiven. The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die, but you shall have eternal life because of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.